So what has persuaded you to come out today?
Well, we've driven up, my son and I, from Newbury, because obviously we can see the state of the nation and there's a national emergency and we need to obviously think about the future. What kind of country are we going to have for our children? Or are we going to have a nation at all? Now, I'd rather live in a nation and not a market, not a borderless international supermarket browsed by mutually hostile strangers, not something that reduces us all to bargain hunters. We need to save the nation, and I think that Rupert Lowe's Restore Britain is the only credible vehicle to do that.
What was it that made you come over? What were the issues that pulled you to Restore, and what was the moment?
Well, you can see that there's obviously there's the bankruptcy of the general liberal idea. There's the fact that you get a sense that the Western idea and the ideas we've had since the Second World War are winding down themselves. And at the same time, you can't escape the fact that we appear to be morally as well as financially bankrupt across the West, across Europe and in Britain, that the whole system is in a form of crisis. If you like, what we used to call normal life has been replaced by a permanent state of emergency in terms of our social incohesion, in terms of demographic change, in terms of the fact that there appear to be no realistic solutions offered, and whoever you vote for, the same mad policies get continued throughout your life, and that's what I've seen the last 30 years, and if it goes on, we're finished.
So what does finished look like?
What does finished look like? Finished looks like an economic collapse. Finished looks like spending all your money on foreign wars when nothing works in the country. Finished looks like you can't get a job for being competent. There's no sanity even in recruitment. We have a competency crisis because for increasingly ideological and insane reasons, employment opportunities, even training opportunities, are restricted. There's one news story after another about why, for political reasons, we're doing mad things that bankrupt the country, that basically park people's careers, that exclude talented people of genuine principle from any area of influence whatsoever. And taken collectively, this is the politics and economics of national suicide. So it has to stop. And there's increasingly a sense, not just in Britain, but throughout the West, that something has to change. And I think that's only going to build as we begin to see the devastating consequences of the latest round of reckless warmongering in the Middle East, which we should never have been involved in, but we're all going to have to live with those consequences. And from this summer on, we're going to see how bitter they are. And it's only going to get worse unless we change the system. And there's no real change that's offered by the parties of the forced consensus. That was the liberal establishment after the Second World War, and it doesn't work anymore, and it hasn't produced the utopia it's promised. It's produced a sort of hell on earth from which there seems to be no way out. But there is. There are people of genuine principle and genuine talent in this country, and the reason why so many people despair of that is because I think they've been systematically excluded from positions of power, influence, and professional advantage for ideological reasons that has bankrupted the country. But we have enormous human capital here. We're just not permitted to release it, because if you don't have the correct views, you don't get the job, you don't get any promotion. In fact, you might be harassed off social media and find yourself debanked, or at least your career is stymied. So what we need is a realistic economy, some return of human dignity to every area of life. Because as I said, it hasn't just financially bankrupted us, it's morally bankrupted us too. And we're looking at a state where you're going to live in a borderless international bazaar, a placelessness, if you like, an international nowhere land where nothing means anything, nowhere seems like home, and where the essential value of human life is replaced with price, such as we see in awful things like surrogacy or 0 hours contracts, or the increasing degradation of, if you what you call, a work-life balance. Finally, how many people actually do work? How many people are now dependent on the state, directly or indirectly, to the point where those people exceed the ability of the nation to actually make money? This is an economic doom spiral. And so the more that you look at the problem, the more you realise that really we are facing a national emergency. And if you are going to take on the duties of the state, something more than self-interest or printing money for your own political friends, we need to do better than that. We need to take seriously the depth of the crisis that we're in, and we need people of genuine principle and talent to address that. And I think we've found them under Rupert Lowe and in Restore Britain.
Do you believe that essentially it's the rhetoric of blood, sweat and tears that we need in this country?
No, I don't think we need any rhetoric at all. You see, that's partly the problem. For the last century, we've been ruled by the political technique of the liberal system, which is basically the rule by media. And what you do then is you use slogans and you use concepts and you attach people's hopes and dreams basically to messages for products that you're never going to deliver. That's how we're ruled. We are sold dreams. Our desires are stimulated by, if you like, the kind of ruling consensus. But none of these things ever happen. And instead, what happens is what the elites want to happen. And so we get involved in these terrible economic doom spirals. We see the quality of our lives degraded as margins are shaved. Everything's subject to shrinkflation now. It's not just your chocolate bars that are getting smaller. It's the value of your wages. It's your ability to earn a living. It's the kind of job that you have to do so. Usually a kind of dignity-free environment, right, where you're slowly choked to death by the lanyard and its terms and conditions. So if we have just more empty rhetoric, we're not going to get anywhere. You need credible people of genuine integrity and experience and ability who are committed to some higher purpose than themselves, than their own personal enrichment or their own mad ideological faction. We need a sense of higher purpose to see beyond the predicament that the rule by media has delivered us into, because it's delivered us all into a fantasy world that's turned out to be a nightmare. And those adverts, if you like, for that system that Francis Fukuyama described as the end of history, the liberal system, he said, periodic elections plus cheap consumer goods. And that was the final verdict on the organisation of mankind, and we could never do any better. Well, it hasn't delivered, has it? The elections have delivered political paralysis in Britain, and in France, and in Germany, the major powers of Europe. And so, what's that electoral system doing? It's ground to a halt. And the economics of this, if you ask conservatives who market, basically market worshippers, if you sit next to them and say, look, you've destroyed our nation, replaced it with a series of light industrial sheds increasingly staffed by third world migrant labour. What has that conserved? It's demolished everything. Everything that they claim to believe in about Burke and his little platoons, about traditional communities and traditional values, has basically been suborned to market worship and pure profit. We need something more than money. We need something more than empty ideological slogans. We need real change for people's real lives, for a change. And I think the crisis that the West generally is facing, politically, diplomatically, morally and financially, gives you the opportunity to make the kind of deep-rooted change that you need to save the nation.
And where is it you think that reform has fallen into, you know, these traps are falling for this? Because obviously you've chosen Restore over Reform.
Yeah.
And you've already mentioned the Iran war. And they obviously want to back the Americans.
Well, this is a difficult question to approach if you're not the kind of sad person with no life like me who actually gets into this. But the Americans didn't choose that war freely on their own, did they? They've admitted severally, their own chief diplomat, Marco Rubio, and many others, the leader of the House and so on, have said that this was a war for Israel because Israel was going to launch that war. And so the real fundamental question is who basically rules the United States, because that war is definitely not in the national interest of the Americans. In fact, I personally predicted this along with others at the beginning of January. This has led to a strategic defeat of the United States. It's broken its military presence, its credibility. It's now seen as agreement incapable. That means in diplomacy, nobody believes your promises. So no one's going to make any deals with you because you constantly break them. And what's worse with that, you then assassinate the people that you were trying to make the agreements with in the first place. Incidentally, the straits were open before you did this and you killed the men who placed a religious prohibition on the development of nuclear weapons, you know? And then your big idea is to bomb everybody so they love you. I mean, this is insane. It doesn't make sense. There's no interest in the national interest at the political elite level in the West, whether it's in the United States or whether it's in Britain or whether it's in Europe. And that's the reason why these political parties are seeing themselves decline dramatically in popularity, because they're not delivering for their own people. The way that they rule is for the interests of the rulers, not the ruled. And you can see that there, because these wars are mad. And it's not just the Iran war. These wars are mad from the point of view of the national interest of any Western nation, because it didn't deliver anything for them other than misery and chaos. And in fact, if you look into the history of regime change, Not only did it come about because of Benjamin Netanyahu saying that he wanted the West to replace diplomacy with a war on terror from 1979, but when it went on to do this, what did it produce? The reason we have a mass migration crisis in Europe is because of the wars in the Middle East that the United States has wholeheartedly fought, which serves only the grand strategy of the Israelis. That's the reason why you had millions of people come into Europe in 2015 from Syria. That's the reason why, as Colonel Gaddafi predicted in 2010, he went on French television and said, if you kill me, Europe will turn black. And then in Operation Odyssey Dawn, when they did kill him, when Hillary Clinton and David Cameron killed Gaddafi, rather brutally, Europe did turn black. Because Libya was a gateway that wasn't open then. And so was Syria. And then so was Iraq. And so when you smash these countries, what happens? People flee and routes are established and that becomes a business. Mass migration is a criminal enterprise. It's a racket. People pay thousands of dollars to be shipped into your country. This becomes a parallel economy. It's part of the corrupting influence of the business of mass destruction itself. And when people are beginning to see that now, because they're seeing that it's going to make changes in their pocket, the price of their petrol, the availability of their food through the scarcity of fertilizer, the cost of living is going to go up. Governments like the Labour Party, and probably like Reform, are going to borrow more in order to defray those costs, which will further devalue the value of your money, making it harder and harder to survive. It's a death spiral. Fundamentally, the decades of regime change wars that I've seen have changed one regime more than most, and that's our own. Because I remember when we used to live in a sane, functioning, stable, and relatively happy country. And now it's terrible. And all these policies have been undertaken which have created this nightmare. And it's the political consensus that was formed after 1945 that's done this to us. And the reason why none of these parties have any answers to these problems is because they are the problem and not the solution. And if they ever name the fact that it's their policies that have caused this, they're finished. And I think reality is making that argument now, and they know they're finished. And this is why you see the elites in the United States cashing out through series of well-documented financial trades, timed to statements always made on Fridays just before the markets closed, like we saw yesterday, saying that peace is coming. This is so bad that the Federal Securities Commission is investigating the President of the United States and his inner circle for insider trading now, because it's obvious. So you're ruled by something that looks very much like a fanatical crime syndicate that does things that destroys everyone's lives, makes these wonderful promises to them, whether from the left or the right. But in the end, what you get is chaos and war and open borders and mad slogans and the outright denial of reality. And it's not good enough because we have to live in the mess they made.
What's the Twitter for Frank Wright?
Yeah, the Twitter is Frank Writer, R-I-G-H-T-E-R, Frank Writer. And inevitably, depressingly, I have a Substack. And I do videos for LifeSite News.